Welcome to Voyage Daily Tech, the most important news personalized for you every day, supported by Voyage.com.
After listening to today's news, you'll know First Anthropic's $300 billion plus IPO plan ignites a race with OpenAI, testing its AI safety mission against Wall Street pressure. So we'll discuss why this move challenges its safety-first mission and what it means for the AI talent war and market leadership. Second, Amazon's AWS adopts rival NVIDIA's NVLink fabric for its own AI chips, a co-opetition move to dominate data center infrastructure. We'll analyze why this concession is a turning point and how it solidifies NVIDIA's ecosystem control at the critical interconnect layer. Third, Amazon's $100,000 Nova Forge service offers deep AI model customization, a strategic pivot to fight its sub-5% enterprise market share. The AI race is about to go public, and the story begins with a decision that caught everyone by surprise. Anthropic, the company behind the Claude chatbot, is reportedly in early talks for a massive initial public offering, potentially valuing the company at over $300 billion. They've already engaged Wilson Sonsini Goodrich and Rosati, the same high-profile law firm that took Google and LinkedIn public. What's crucial to understand is that Anthropic isn't just any company. It was founded as a public benefit corporation, or PBC, with a core mission of developing AI safely. Going public, however, creates a huge challenge. A PBC is legally required to balance its safety mission with the short-term, profit-driven demands of public market shareholders. So, as we watch this drama unfold, the big question is how they will protect their long-term safety goals from the immense pressure of Wall Street. The money behind this potential move is staggering. Anthropic was recently valued in the range of $350 billion after receiving investments of up to $5 billion from Microsoft and $10 billion from NVIDIA. But this isn't just about a big payday. This is a strategic power play. For Anthropic, a first-to-market IPO is a strategic weapon. By going public first, they can offer liquid stock options that are incredibly attractive for recruiting the absolute best AI talent in the world. It also boosts their credibility, helping them lock in exclusive, lucrative contracts with big enterprise customers who want the stability of a publicly traded partner. This is how they can start to control the public narrative and position themselves as the leader in the field. To prove they're serious, Anthropic is expanding aggressively, announcing a $50 billion AI infrastructure build-out with new data centers. They've also tripled their international workforce and hired a former Airbnb executive who is a key player in that company's own 2020 IPO. This all sets the stage for a direct race to the stock market against its main rival, ChatGPT maker OpenAI. While OpenAI recently closed a share sale at a stunning $500 billion valuation, its chief financial officer says the company is not pursuing a near-term listing. Now, you might be hearing that $500 billion number and thinking, how is that even possible? In reality, investors are using new non-traditional metrics to justify these massive valuations. They're looking at things like model performance on specific benchmarks, the sheer number of parameters in the AI, and how many developers are adopting the technology. It's a bit like the dot-com era's focus on eyeballs or user counts, where future potential and market influence are valued more than immediate profit. That statement creates a massive opening. According to reports, investors are enthusiastic, seeing a potential Anthropic IPO as a chance to seize the initiative from OpenAI. The race isn't just about who has the better technology. It's now a high-stakes battle to see who can capture the market and investor confidence first. Speaking of the high-stakes AI race, the battle for the underlying hardware is just as fierce. Amazon's cloud unit, which has been building its own chips to compete with NVIDIA, just announced it's adopting its rival's core technology. A while back, we talked about big clouds pouring billions into custom silicon to reduce reliance on NVIDIA. Today's twist is that even as AWS doubles down on its own chips, it's leaning on NVIDIA for the piece that ties everything together. Now, this is a classic case of what industry experts call co-opetition. That's when fierce competitors are forced to cooperate because one of them holds a piece of technology that is simply too good to ignore. Continuing our last discussion about second source strategies, this is that idea in action, except the cooperation here sits right at the interconnect layer, where switching costs are highest. AWS will integrate a technology called NVLink Fusion into its future AI chip specifically, its next-gen Trainium 4 parts. This isn't just any tech. NVLink is described as one of NVIDIA's crown jewels, the secret sauce that creates ultra-fast connections between processors. We previously analyzed how specialized stacks like Google's TPUs create their own performance advantages. Today, the focus shifts to the fabric itself becoming the battlefield. And the reason this is so critical is the sheer speed involved. To put it in perspective, NVLink provides up to 7 times the bandwidth of the standard connection technology you might find in other systems, called PCIe Gen 5. Think of it as upgrading from a small country road to a 7-lane superhighway for data. This is what makes training massive AI models possible at the speeds the industry now demands. This move comes as other major chip firms like Intel and Qualcomm have also signed on to use NVIDIA's technology. We previously framed second sourcing as a crack in NVIDIA's armor. The latest development is NVIDIA turning that crack into a moat at the interconnect layer. Here's where it gets interesting, though. The announcement was made at the same time Amazon is rolling out its own brand new servers. These new machines, built on a chip called Trainium 3, deliver a staggering 4 times the computing power of the previous generation, all while using 40% less energy. As we noted a while back, cloud growth is being throttled by compute scarcity, so differentiated silicon like this is the lever to unlock demand. That 40% less energy claim sounds fantastic, but it's worth taking with a grain of salt. After all, the AI hardware industry currently lacks mandatory standardized benchmarks for energy consumption. Groups like ML Commons are trying to create them, but participation is voluntary. This means companies can make these impressive sounding claims without providing independently verifiable data, a critical point to remember when considering the true environmental cost of the AI boom. And remember, a while back we pointed out how TPU V4S could train certain large models faster at much lower wattage than top NVIDIA GPUs, given the data center power crunch we discussed. That's exactly why rigorous comparable energy metrics matter. So why would a company making such massive leaps in its own hardware turn to its biggest competitor? Because in the high stakes race to train massive AI models, speed is everything. The ability to link thousands of machines together seamlessly is the critical bottleneck, and NVIDIA's technology is the key to unlocking it. Previously, we talked about cross-cloud links, letting customers mix hardware stacks, train on TPUs, deploy on AWS. Here, the mix and match happens inside the data center fabric itself. Believe it or not, what we're seeing is NVIDIA's true long-term strategy in action. It's not just about selling the best chips. It's about making its proprietary interconnect technology, the NVLink, the default standard for all AI data centers. By controlling this fabric that ties everything together, NVIDIA creates a powerful lock-in effect, making it incredibly difficult for customers to switch away from its ecosystem. We've said before that second source strategies could weaken NVIDIA's grip. The latest development is that the grip may simply shift from the chip to the fabric. NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang framed the deal in epic terms, stating the two companies are creating the compute fabric for the AI industrial revolution. This all points to the central power struggle in the tech world. An AWS executive went on the record stating their strategy is to compete with rivals, including NVIDIA, based on price. That echoes what we covered a while back about multi-cloud connectivity. Make it easy for customers to choose the best path per workload, not a single vendor. So the thing is, Amazon is playing the long game to become the Switzerland of AI. The idea is to provide the best, most reliable, and most affordable infrastructure, the picks and shovels of the AI gold rush for everyone, including companies that build models which compete with Amazon's own. By being the neutral platform, they can win business from all sides. And as we mentioned a while back, that neutrality ramps up pressure on Microsoft to bolster its multi-cloud story so customers don't get pulled into an AWS-Google split for training and deployment. He said they need to prove they have the right performance at the right price point to win customers over. This partnership reveals the complex game being played. Amazon is trying to lure customers away from NVIDIA with better price, performance on one hand, while simultaneously admitting it needs NVIDIA's best tech to compete at the highest level on the other. In other words, customers get more viable second sources on compute Trainium TPUs while NVIDIA tightens its hold on the connective tissue. This isn't just a partnership, it's a strategic concession. It demonstrates that even for a titan like Amazon, which is making its own massive strides in AI hardware, the path to the future of artificial intelligence still runs directly through NVIDIA, especially at the fabric layer, even as AWS pushes Trainium 3 now and Trainium 4 next. While Amazon is making these huge strategic moves in hardware, it's also launching an aggressive new play in the enterprise software space. Amazon just found a way to let companies extensively customize their AI, and the price tag is an absolute bombshell. $100,000 a year, but that $100,000 fee, however, is just the ticket to get in the door. It's a classic loss leader. It's deceptively low because it doesn't include the single most expensive part of the process. The raw computing power, the real multi-million dollar costs will come from the massive infrastructure needed for training and running the AI. And this is important because while building a model from scratch can cost up to $200 million, the compute power needed for this kind of customization can still run into the tens of millions. Amazon is betting that once a company is hooked, they'll be locked into the AWS ecosystem for the really expensive part. The new service is called NovaForge, and it lets big businesses bake their own secret data into Amazon's AI models earlier than ever before. So what does earlier than ever before actually mean? Well, this is the core innovation. Usually companies take a finished AI model and do something called fine tuning, which is like teaching an educated adult a new specific skill. What NovaForge claims to do is let companies inject their data mid-training. This is more like sending a brilliant teenager to a specialized academy. It allows the model to build its core knowledge around a company's private data, not just layer it on top. The goal is to avoid something experts call catastrophic forgetting, where a model forgets its general abilities while learning new specific information. The pitch? It's a shortcut to a bespoke AI that could save them hundreds of millions or even billions compared to building one from scratch. But this raises a huge question for any business diving in. When you use your secret data to create this custom AI, who actually owns it? The research suggests that while the company providing the data generally retains ownership of the final model, it's not without risk. We have to talk about security. There are very real concerns about data contaminating the base model, or even worse, something called a model inversion attack, where a clever adversary could potentially probe the finished AI to extract the sensitive, secret data that was used to train it. But that's not the whole picture. The jaw-dropping number that puts this all in perspective is this. A recent survey shows Amazon's own Nova AI models have less than 5% of the enterprise market. They're getting crushed by rivals. Amazon-backed Anthropic controls 32%, OpenAI holds 25%, and Google has 20%. That's right. The most popular models on Amazon's own cloud service aren't even Amazon's. They're from Anthropic, a company Amazon itself has invested in. When we place Amazon's current market share alongside this new service, the strategy becomes clear. Given that Amazon is so far behind in the popularity contest, NovaForge isn't just a defensive move. It's a brilliant offensive strategy. Amazon is trying to sidestep the race to build the best general model and instead create an entirely new defensible market for hyper-specialized enterprise models. They're changing the rules of the game. Amazon is now fighting back, rolling out two new models. The first, Nova 2 Pro, is a reasoning model designed to go head-to-head with the latest from Anthropic, OpenAI, and Google. The second, Nova 2 Omni, is a multi-talented model that can process images, speech, and video. But the core conflict is clear. While tens of thousands of organizations are using Nova models, Amazon Web Services has millions of customers. This isn't just about a new service. This is Amazon, a giant currently losing the AI model war, leveraging its cloud empire and a high price ticket to force its way back to the front lines. We've been talking about the billions pouring into the AI gold rush, but that money has to come from somewhere. Interestingly enough, we're now seeing private capital pulling out of other massive infrastructure projects to chase those AI returns, which brings us to the high stakes battle for the sky. Let's start with a single comparison that might just change your entire perspective on this story. The company positioned as Europe's answer to Starlink has over 600 satellites in orbit. Elon Musk's Starlink has over 6,750. The significance here isn't just about the number of satellites, it's about how they work. Starlink's massive constellation orbits at a lower altitude, around 550 kilometers, and the satellites can talk to each other using laser links. This creates a dense, interconnected mesh in the sky, resulting in super low latency or delay of just 20 to 40 milliseconds. Eutelsat's OneWeb satellites, by contrast, orbit higher up at 1,200 kilometers and, for now, lack those inter-satellite links. This means they rely on ground stations pushing their latency to 70 to 100 milliseconds, for high speed applications, that difference is a game changer. That company is Eutelsat, and it's at the center of a high stakes battle for the sky. Positioned as a crucial piece of Europe's tech sovereignty, it just hit a massive wall of turbulence. Actually, calling it a simple pillar of European sovereignty gets complicated when you look at who actually owns it. Following its merger with the UK-based company OneWeb, Eutelsat has a very complex multinational ownership structure. Major stakes are held by entities from France, the UK, and even India. This is totally different from the nationally aligned models of the US-based SpaceX or China's state-backed projects. The web of international interests could make it much harder to act as a single, unified European champion. What really brought this to a head was the next development. Japanese investor SoftBank just sold around half its stake in the company, a move that sent Eutelsat's stock price plummeting nearly 8%. And when SoftBank makes a move, the market listens. Its Vision Fund is famous for making gigantic bets on what it believes are future winners. So when it aggressively pulls back from a company that's supposed to be a strategic champion, it sends a powerful signal. Many see this not just as a simple portfolio rebalance, but as a vote of no confidence in Eutelsat's ability to truly compete with Starlink. And this comes after an absolutely wild ride for the stock. Earlier this year, shares soared more than 600%. They have since dropped by over 70%. But the rabbit hole goes deeper. As private money pulls out, government money is pouring in. The French state recently led a 1.35 billion euro investment, becoming the largest shareholder with a roughly 30% stake. This signals Eutelsat is becoming less of a growth story and more of a strategic government asset. The situation presents a fascinating duality. We're seeing private venture capital, like SoftBank, chasing what it sees as the next gold rush, artificial intelligence. They are divesting from infrastructure to pour billions into AI, believing that's where the massive returns will be. At the same time, governments are looking at the same satellite infrastructure and seeing something completely different, a vital utility for national security, economic independence, and technological control. It's a classic battle between growth capital and sovereignty capital. Analysts say this is the real story. Eutelsat is carving out a niche in government, aviation, and emergency connectivity, while Starlink holds on to its massive scale advantage and dominates the retail market. This all boils down to one massive open question. Can a government-backed business-to-business-centric strategy deliver attractive returns? And is Europe willing to keep writing checks at the scale required to even begin to narrow that colossal gap with Starlink? Speaking of competition between giants, another major player is looking to make a power move. But this time in the media world, a seemingly impossible collaboration could soon become a reality. The biggest name in streaming, Netflix, is reportedly trying to buy the crown jewels of its rival, Warner Brothers Discovery. You know, the streaming wars, which started with the promise of unbundling cable and giving you more choice, are now entering a new phase, the great rebundling. The market is getting saturated. In fact, US streaming subscriber growth slowed to just over 10% last year. This is forcing these giants to consolidate, to merge into a few dominant players, effectively recreating the old cable model. But for the streaming age, this isn't just a rumor. Sources say Netflix has submitted a mostly cash offer for the studio and streaming unit. This would give them control of everything from the entire HBO catalog to the Warner Brothers film library and all of DC Comics. But here's the twist. Netflix is arguing this massive consolidation would actually be good for your wallet, claiming a bundled Netflix and HBO Max would cost less than separate subscriptions. This is a direct attempt to preempt regulators who worry a deal would reduce consumer choice. This pro-consumer argument is a strategic play we've seen before, and it's important to look at the history here. As a comparison, when Disney bought 21st Century Fox, analysts warned that consolidating so much content under one roof would likely lead to fewer choices and higher prices down the line, not the other way around. These promises of cheaper bundles are often a short-term tactic to get the deal approved, but the long-term result is almost always less competition. And if you think that sounds strange, consider this killer fact. Sources familiar with the deal say the vast majority of HBO Max customers already subscribe to Netflix anyway. But the fight for this media empire is far from over. Other giants are in the ring. Paramount, Skydance, and Comcast are also bidding for pieces of Warner Brothers Discovery. One Bank of America analyst warns that if Comcast loses out, its Peacock streaming service risks being left behind and unable to compete in the global market. So what is Netflix's ultimate goal here? The company is already the clear leader in subscribers. The answer, according to that same analyst, is that Netflix still lags other media companies on deep IP libraries. This is where the situation takes a more complex turn. The move is basically an admission that Netflix's original model, using data and algorithms to crank out a high volume of new shows, is less durable than the old school dynasty IP model. Think about Disney. Its entire strategy revolves around powerhouse franchises like Marvel, Star Wars, and Pixar. These aren't just shows. They are cultural cornerstones with built-in fan bases that create a self-sustaining ecosystem of movies, series, merchandise, and theme parks. Netflix has data, but Warner Brothers has Batman, Harry Potter, and Game of Thrones. This isn't just about adding more shows. A successful acquisition would give Netflix the iconic franchises needed for theme parks, gaming, and merchandising, transforming it from a streaming service into a full-fledged media empire.
That's it for today on Voyage Daily Tech. Follow, share, and stay tuned for daily updates coming your way tomorrow.